Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up he was pleasing to God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, when even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, as that as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested and offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son, it was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, and considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive all his promise, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time, for
Well, this morning I pray that you will come meet with us and help us to just pray and get into your presence and hear your word. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this chapter comes right after, in chapter 10, the writer says basically, don't shrink back, you know. Don't be of those people that kind of lose their faith and mess it up at the end. But we're not of those. Verse 39 of chapter 10 says, but we're not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. So he's like reassuring them and saying, you are made of those people that are going to have faith to the preserving of souls. You're not of those that shrink back. And so he's kind of explaining what that faith looks like. And this is a really inspiring chapter of people that lived by faith. The scripture says the righteous shall live by faith. And this is an example, right, of all these people that lived by faith. And faith is really interesting. I think it's how we come to our faith in God is by faith. But also how we live our Christian life is also by faith. You know, faith is everything. We need to really have an understanding of faith. And we need to have faith to live this Christian life as someone that's going to do a good job at it, you know, to succeed as a Christian. And verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And this is why our Christian life is so difficult. Because we're trying to live in the reality of something that is unseen. You know, if we could see God and we could see the angels and we could see the spiritual things behind everything that is visible, I feel like our Christian life would be so much easier. You know, if we could come to EMP and, let's say we wake up in the morning and we see God and we hear God say, go to EMP, go and pray in the morning. Then, of course, our church would be packed out if we could see God come to us in the morning and say, you need to wake up and go to church and pray. Of course we would get up and do it because we see it, we hear it, and we experience it. But because we're trying to live in this reality of the unseen realm, I believe it's hard, you know? But if that were the case, it wouldn't take much faith at all. Because it would just be a fact. You know, like if we could see God and we could see all the spiritual things and all the things that were happening, we understood all the spiritual side of things, it wouldn't be faith. We would just know it, and it would be a fact. And for some reason, God is requiring us, His people, to live by faith, not to live by sight, but to live by faith. And maybe one of the reasons I was thinking about it is because only when it's done like this do we have the freedom to choose God. We have the freedom to say no to God when He doesn't reveal Himself fully. I mean, if He reveals Himself in the fullness of His glory, and nobody would be able to reject Him or have the choice to say no, you know, because we will all just be overwhelmed by His glory, and we will just come to Him, and it wouldn't really be a free choice to come before God. But God wants His people to freely choose Him and to freely love Him. So maybe that's why He chooses to limit Himself in the revelation of His glory, so that we will come to Him in faith and in this freedom to choose, that we may choose God and say yes to Him instead of saying no. But another side of it is maybe even if God were to reveal Himself, people that have already decided in their heart to not believe in God, they wouldn't believe in God anyway. You know, you see that in when Jesus is resurrected from the dead. I mean, these people saw Jesus crucified and they saw Him resurrected from the dead. But in their heart, they still said, no, forget it. I don't believe that Jesus is real. And there was this hardness of heart. You know, you see that in Pharaoh. He sees all the miracles of God and he still says, no, I'm not going to let these people go. You know, you see that in Jesus' parable of Lazarus and the rich man. They both die. They go to... Lazarus goes to heaven, the rich man's in hell, he's in agony, and he sees Father Abraham. And he says, Father Abraham, would you please let me go to my family so that I may tell them about this whole thing? And Abraham says, no, they have the prophets to speak to them. They need to listen to the prophets. And the rich man says, no, but if a dead man rises from the dead, and tells them about this thing, they'll believe. But Father Abraham says, no, if they did not believe in the prophets, they're not going to believe even when a dead man rises and speaks to them. So, you know, yeah, maybe even if God revealed himself, people that weren't going to believe aren't going to believe anyway. But for whatever reason, God has decided that this is the way, that we're going to live by faith. And as his people are required to live by faith and in faith and trying to believe in the things that is unseen, that is, you know, that we can't touch or that we can't feel. But I just want to talk about what faith is and kind of four things that I believe faith is not, to kind of understand what faith is, you know. Number one, faith is not trying to convince yourself. You know, we talk about faith and sometimes we think, oh, we, you know, if we have any doubt, you know, then we're not having any faith. So we try to come before God and we always want to kind of try and convince ourselves that this is real. And we feel bad when we have doubts in our heart and we feel like, oh, we're not a good Christian. We have doubts in my heart. You know, I need to convince myself that this is real, this is real, this is real. And when we pray for healing, we think, this is going to work. You know, I believe this is going to be working. This person's going to be healed. This person's going to be healed. This person's going to be healed. And we try to convince ourselves that it's happening. And then we say, if it doesn't happen, we say, no, it happened, it happened, it happened, it happened. And sometimes we can even be in denial. You know, we see that in sometimes in healing ministry, people will come up for healing and somebody will pray for you. And it's the emotional hype, it's whatever, whatever. And you convince yourself that, oh, I'm healed. But then nothing's actually happened. So the person praying for you is like, no, just believe that you're healed. Come on, where's your faith? Believe that you're healed. But that almost is like denial, you know? And faith is not denying that something happened when it didn't happen, you know? Faith is, in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith is just believing that God is. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens, faith is believing that God is and that he's going to reward those that come to him. So faith would be like the writers of Psalm that come to God, and when things are not working out, they believe in God enough to complain to God and to wrestle with God and to go to God and say, God, why is this happening? You know, faith is not giving up when things don't happen the way we want it to happen, but wrestling with God and going to God. It's like saying, I believe that God is. I believe that God is there. Therefore, I'm going to complain to him. I'm going to cry out to him. I'm going to weep before him. I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to question him. I'm going to yell at him. I'm going to be angry at him. And sometimes I'm even going to hate him because I don't understand what's happening, but I know that God is there. It's this wrestling with God. And I just want to say about the whole healing thing, our church is not like that. We have very good people at the well that really know that it's not a denial. You know, if you go to the well and you get prayed for, they'll say, just be careful. You know, they say your legs hurt. They pray for you. They'll say, take small steps, small movements to see if it's better. And if they say, if it's not better, they're not freaked out. They say, that's okay. We'll pray for you again. They'll pray for you again. And if it doesn't work, they say, come back next week, you know. Keep praying until you're healed, right? They're not going to just say, just believe that you're healed. And, you know, Jesus never did that, right? And anybody that came to Jesus for healing, they never left with Jesus saying, just believe that you're healed. Come on, where is your faith? Just, come on, you're healed. Even though they're still in pain, right? When they came to Jesus, they were fully healed. And when they didn't get healed, Jesus actually prayed for that person one more time, right? So, faith is not convincing yourself that something has happened when it's not happened, or convincing yourself that it's going to work, or trying to muster up some kind of certainty in your heart when you have doubt and when you're not so sure. You know, that is not faith. Because, you know, that faith is not about us, right? Faith is about who God is and how faithful he is and how powerful he is and what he is able to do. Not so much how much capable I am of convincing myself that this is going to happen. You guys know the name Israel. It means to wrestle with God wrestled with God and prevailed. And it's interesting that God would name the people that he chooses to reveal himself through the history of the world, he names them wrestling with God. And I believe because wrestling with God is a part of our faith, you know. When you believe that somebody is good and faithful, then you wrestle with that person when things are not going the way it's not supposed to. I have given this illustration before, but if you see, if you're walking down the mall and you see some young girl who is dressed very scantily and very inappropriately, and she's just really behaving inappropriately and gaining a lot of attention from people just by the way she is. And that's a stranger, you're just going to leave that person. You're just going to be like, whatever. You know, like, just try to not look at her, ignore, and then go. But if that person is, like, for a man, if that person is your wife, or if you're an older man, if that person is your daughter, or if that person is a sister or something, then you have a relationship with that person, and you're going to say, what are you doing? I know that you're not supposed to be like this. I know who you are. I know your character. I know the kind of woman you are. This is not you. And I'll put my clothes on her and say, let's get out of this place. What are you doing? And I'll question her and I'll react to what she is doing because I know that person. I have a relationship with that person. In the same way with God, if we don't have faith in God when bad things happen, we just say, forget. We give up on God and we don't even bother wrestling. But faith means that we wrestle with God and we say, God, how come you're there, and I believe that you're a good God. I believe that you're a faithful God, but this is not working out. And you can go to God, and you can complain, and you can yell at him, and you can even be angry at him. Right? There's a book title called May I Hate God? And the answer in that book is yes, he can take it. Right? God can take our anger. God can take our complaint. And it's better for us to go to God honestly and say, God, I believe that you are there, that you are a rewarder of those who seek you. So I'm going to seek you about this. I'm going to argue with you about this because I don't think this is the way it should be. And in that, you fight with God, you wrestle with God, and then you make peace with God. And then your faith grows, you know. And in the same vein, faith is also not getting everything the way you want it to be. You know, faith is not getting your way every time. Sometimes we have this idea, you know, name it and claim it. You know, I believe, I declare this to be true. And I'm Ferrari. I want a Ferrari, I want a Ferrari, I want a Ferrari. Bam, God's going to give me a Ferrari. That's not faith, you know, that's, we've twisted it, you know, to think faith is always getting things the way we want it to be. I had my day off yesterday, so I was just walking around and running some errands, and I had this meditation in my own heart with God about Thanksgiving because I was coming out of the Hong Kong driving license office. And some of you know, this year I decided, hey, I'm going to get a driver's license. I'm too old to not have a driver's license, and I'm too frustrated when I go to the States to be stuck under someone else's care, you know? Like, I want to do my own thing. I want to have my own car. So forget it, I'm going to do it. So I took lessons, paid a lot of money, hired an instructor, and I took my test, and I passed the first time. So I had to go to the office to get my actual license. But as I was walking, I was thinking, God, you're so faithful. You know, I took my driver's test. First test, I passed. And not only in Hong Kong, even in the States, because I took a driver's test in the States too, and I passed the first go. I passed the first go in Hong Kong. And I had a LASIK surgery in March. And that day, I was going for a doctor's visit, my last checkup. And my eyes are perfect. It's 20/20. It's better than 20/20 vision right now. And my surgery has been so good. So I was like, I'm so thankful. You're so faithful. My surgery went well. I got my license. I got into my school. And, you know, even though it's tough, you know, I'm able to do everything that I need to do. And I was just thanking God and thinking of all the good things and how faithful God is in my life. And he really has been so good. But then I thought, what if all these things didn't happen? You know, what if my surgery didn't go as well as I hoped it would? What if I didn't pass my test the first go? What if I didn't get into my school? What if my relationships didn't work out? And what if this didn't happen? What if that didn't happen? Does that mean I'm not going to thank God? You know, like I was really, like, challenged. I thought, like, it's all about me. It's all about what happens in my life. It's all about good things that have happened in my life. But if those things were taken away, would I still choose God? And would I still choose to praise Him and thank Him? And that's what faith is. Because it says, those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So whether or not these things happen in my life, God just is. God just is worthy of our praises. He is glorious, He is awesome, and He is mighty, and He is faithful, and His loving kindness is everlasting. Circumstances does not determine who God is, right? And you see that in verses 32 to 40. It says, what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness remained strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection. Up to that is people that believed in God and amazing things happened for them. They were delivered. They saw miracles happen. They became mighty in war. All these amazing things happened through their faith. And then he goes into the other category. Others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and the caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they should not be made perfect. So for them, their faith in God meant they were tortured, they were killed for their belief, they were sawn in two, it says, they were persecuted. And you see that in Acts as well, right? When believers come to faith in God and they say, I believe in Jesus, and they start living for God, they're persecuted time and time again. But their response in persecution is rejoicing. They say, oh, they rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And so faith is not getting your way every time, but faith is, even when it's difficult, we believe in a kingdom that is not seen with our own eyes. And we believe that God is good, and we believe that God is worthy to receive our sacrifices and to receive our commitment to live for Him, no matter what the circumstances is. So that's number two. Number three is faith is not being perfect. Sometimes we think if you're a man of faith, you're just going to have a perfect life. You know, you need to be fully righteous and just really good as a Christian. You really need to be really good at, you know, all the things that God asks you to do. But we see through the examples given in this chapter that faith is not being perfect. You know, the names, some of the names given are Abraham, Noah, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, David. You know, all these people are great men and women of faith that are mentioned in this chapter. But if you look at their life, they all struggled with sin. They all messed up, and they all had their own issues. You know, Abraham lied about his wife. Noah had drinking problems, and he was butt drunk one day, even after the whole incident of the ark. And Sarah laughed at God. When God said, you're going to have a child, Sarah said, no way. You know, she kind of laughed at God. Moses was one that had anger issues that really just lost it at the people that he was leading. Rahab was a prostitute. King David, adulteress and a murderer. Right? All these things people struggled with, but they knew this one thing, right? They knew that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. So instead of, in their sin, running away from God or hiding away from God, they trusted that God is there and that he's going to reward them when they come to him. Faith is not being perfect, but it's believing that God is always there and that he is a good God, and that when we seek him, he's going to reward us with his presence, with his forgiveness. So in the same way, you know, when we are struggling with unbelief or we feel like we're sinning and we're not perfect, we don't need to just get down on ourselves or just run away or hide from God. Instead, we need to turn to God right away. Sometimes it's so hard when you're stuck in sin and when you're stuck far away from God to make that first turn to God, to run to him. But when we make that choice and we turn to God, he's going to be there. And that takes faith to believe that he's going to accept us as we are, and that he's going to forgive us, and that he's going to restore us and renew us, you know, when we feel far away from God. So that's faith. Faith is not being perfect, but it's just trusting that God is there and that he's going to reward us when we come to him. And faith is not a feeling, but it's a choice, right? Faith is not just feeling some kind of certainty or feeling a certain way about situations. It's a choice. And all the examples given here in this chapter, these guys, when they had faith, it led them to action, right? Faith was almost equated to obedience. And I think our faith is always going to be measured by our actions. And James would tell us, you know, you tell me you have faith apart from works, I'll show you my faith by my works, by what I do. And faith is not just a feeling, it's a choice, it's an action. I'll tell you a story of Hudson Taylor. He's a missionary, pioneer missionary who brought the gospel to China. And there's a story about Hudson Taylor. When Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing vessel. As it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his storeroom door, or stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear that they might be cannibals." "What can I do?" asked Taylor. "I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for the wind." "All right, Captain, I will. But you must set the sail." And the captain said, "What? That's ridiculous. There is not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors will think that I'm crazy." But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. And he said, "You can stop praying now," said the captain. "We've got more wind than we know what to do with." In that story, faith took action. Faith is always going to require us to make a choice. When we can't see that this is going to happen, when we don't know for certain that things are going to go the way we hope it would go, or the way God says it's going to go, but it's going to require us to choose, and it's going to require us to walk in obedience and to act in accordance with faith. And I just want to say, since faith is, I mean, our life is based on faith. You know, our Christian walk, this whole thing is about faith. So we start with faith in Jesus Christ. And our whole life as a Christian is lived out in faith. And I think time and time again, we're going to be faced with weaknesses and difficulty and struggles and doubts and questions. That's when our faith is tested. And it gets proven as we turn to God, even in the midst of struggles. And we say, "God, I choose to believe in you. I choose to believe that you're there, and I'm going to wrestle with you." And it's also going to get tested, I think, when God challenges us to move and choose him and act. And many times that will happen, right? He's going to say, "Do this." And we're going to be like, "No, I'm going to look ridiculous." But I says, "Do this." And then you do it, and your faith grows. And that's how we live our life of faith. So let's meditate upon that. And this morning, I just want to encourage us to come before him. Go back to verse 6. "He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So as Jisun comes and leads us in worship, let's just come before God and believe that He is. First of all, that He is. That He exists and that He is there for us. He is right here with us right now. And that He rewards those that seek Him. You know, when we come before Him and seek His face, He's going to be there. So this morning, let's do that together. Whatever, you know, whether you're struggling or whether you're walking in victory and fullness, let's just go before God in thanksgiving. Let's go before God in our questions. Let's go before God in our struggles. Let's go before God with our praises. But let's also go before God with our worries. And just today, you know, let's really live this life of faith, believing that God is here, try to live in the reality of the unseen realm, unseen spiritual realm, but, you know, trying to tune in to what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing in our lives.
All my end.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Help us to live this life of faith, believing in you, no matter through tears and joy, God, to believe in you and to trust in you and to worship you. Let's go to our prayer focus. Let's pray first for our brothers and sisters that are struggling, our church members that have family members that are sick, your parents that have cancer, aunts that have cancer. Let's also pray for Belinda, who is still recovering from her surgery. And let's pray for Pete's wife, Katie, who also needs surgery for her heart. She's getting examined. And so many people, right, with cancer. Charles's dad, Alex's dad, Kian's mom, P. Sam's aunt, Matthew Dalbo's aunt, and others that I have forgotten. But let's lift them up. Let's pray that God would bring healing. Let's pray that God would help them to believe and hold on to God. Let's also pray for those that are still looking for jobs and are just seeking God's face in that. Let's pray for them. Let's intercede in their behalf, and let's come together and pray for our brothers and sisters that are in need of a job. And anyone else that you might know that are struggling, let's just lift them up. Let's intercede for the church members. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for the Chong family. Please pray for my parents as well. They're traveling right now to the up north doing a ministry trip. Please pray for their health. Pray for Lian Cheng and also Steve and Janine Basaraba. You know, Janine has cancer and she's been going through chemotherapy. Let's pray for them and their family. Let's pray for the Chichihar kids. Pray for the government of China and the churches and also the Beijing church plant. PSM Kim is going to start their first house church meeting this Wednesday, tomorrow, and their first church meeting on Sunday. So let's pray for them. Let's lift up China. Let's pray for the staff of SP, and pray for the elder board and the missions committee, the leaders of this church. Let's pray that God would really have mercy upon the staff and the board and the mission committee, that we would really be able to love God more every day, and that He will be the one leading us and guiding us, that we don't rely on our own strength, but we pursue a real intimacy with God, and that we'll be able to hear from Him clearly what He's saying. So please pray. Let's pray together for the staff, the elder board, and the missions committee.
Let's pray for the Febe ministry and the Korean church. Let's pray that God really blesses these two ministries. Pray for Pastor Salamat and Mimi and their children. Let's pray for the Korean church and the pastor there. And let's pray for stability in the Korean church. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come and bless these two ministries. Let's pray together. Pray for the house churches meeting tonight. Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak, Harborside, Seymour, and Sarsfield. I just pray that God would come and be present in the meetings, and the people will be able to really worship God and love each other and minister to each other. So let's pray for the house churches. Thank you, Lord. We just love you, and we thank you for your presence, God, and we trust in you. God, I pray just help us to live by faith today. God, would you speak to us and help us to hear from you, and we help us to walk in obedience, God, today, and bring you joy in some way. And I pray that we will just always be aware of your presence with us, God, throughout today. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.